This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Oh, that's a good surprise, Tim. What you just heard was a sweet little girl who hears the show so often when she was playing in her living room one day. Her mom hears her say, "I'm Susie Larson with Tim Marks on the board." And so they came to visit, and Tim secretly had her sit in my seat and record an intro. She does it better than me. I'm a little nervous if I can say that.
A future radio star.
There you go. Wow, that's very sweet. Well, I am Susie Larson, and we have Tim Marks on the board and Grace on the phone lines. And boy, do we have a show for you. I am excited about today. I can't wait to talk to this guest of mine, people that I love and adore. Love and adore this person. And so I love and adore this person, and I barely know her. In just a moment, Linda Dilla will be joining me, and we're going to talk about her much-talked-about book, What It's Like to Be Married to Me and Other Dangerous Questions. And that question, I'm sure, just stops you in your tracks. Tim's already sweating a little bit because he knows I'm going to ask. Okay, I'm going to ask Tim, what's it like to be married to you?
Well, first of all, I have to say I absolutely love the title.
Mm-hmm.
That is great. And I don't think it's easy being married to me.
No.
Like many people, I like to do things my way, and there always is conflict when things don't go the way that I think they probably should.
Well, don't you think selfish is always at the bottom for all of us?
For
it's the
us.
Bottom of the issue. You're a humble, God-fearing man, and so she's blessed to have you. But I appreciate your honest answer. When I was thinking about this show, I was remembering I wrote this story in my Alone in Marriage book, but a number of years ago, Kevin and I were in a disagreement, and he's just so logical, and it was just bugging me. So. And I remember just clenching my fists and squinting my eyes, and I said, "Just because you're right most of the time doesn't make you better than me." And then he started to laugh, and he goes, "Well," jokingly, he says, "Oh, yeah, it does." And then, of course, I laughed, and it was the fight was over. But anyway, seriously, though, we are going to talk about this. We're going to turn things around and really take a look at what is it like to be married to me. This book is written for women, but there is something for you men as well. And we aim to get a deeper understanding for both men and women so that we can reflect the likeness of Christ. So I'm so excited to get Linda on. Real quick, I want to remind you, tomorrow is Sunshine Thursday, which means it's time now to go to our website and share with us where you see God moving, where's the sunshine, and what's the Lord doing in your life, faithradionet.com. Remember to share those things, and we'll draw for tomorrow, and you'll get to, if you win, you get a book, and you go in the big drawing for a night stay at Radisson and 4 free tickets to the Water Park of America. So get on our web after the show. I don't want you to miss a minute of today's show. All right, I want you to sit back, and I want you to, I just pray God will open up your heart and your mind and your ears so that you have faith to really engage in this conversation. And because it is Book Giveaway Wednesday, we're giving a whole stack of books away. We've got 7 copies of Linda's book and a handful of mine as well. So when you're ready, I want you to pick up the phone and engage. But let me tell you about our guest, and we'll get her on the show. Linda Dilla and her husband Jody have been a missionary on 3 continents. They've been married 46 years. They have 4 children and 10 grandchildren from age 13 down to age 1. They spent 14 years living in Vienna on the edge of Eastern Europe. Linda is the author of several books, which she doesn't say this in her bio, but she's the best-selling author of several books, including Calm My Anxious Heart, Intimacy Ignited, A Deeper Kind of Calm, and Calm My Anxious Heart, which I just read. She also has the joy of partnering with the Holy Spirit for this recent book, What's It Like to Be Married to Me? And you can learn more about Linda on the web at lindadillo.org. Linda, it's an honor to have you with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, Susie, it's such a joy to be with you.
I'm looking forward to this conversation. Well, as Grace told you, I'm sure, we'd like to start out with Scripture and end with prayer. And you chose James 1:5. And what is that Scripture? Do you have it? I have it as well, but I'd love for you to read it if you've got it.
Do you know?
I put you on the spot. If any of you lacks wisdom.
I know what it is, but what I sent to you was from the Amplified.
Okay.
And I don't have that one, but I've got it. I don't have it memorized, but I have it written down. And I'll tell you why I liked the Amplified so much, if I can find it.
I have the Amplified from your notes, so I'll just read it and then you comment, all right?
All right.
If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given him. Great passage. Talk to us about that.
I loved it, Susie, in in the Amplified, because it says if any of us are deficient in wisdom, and I think that encompasses all of us, men, women, young, old, we just don't have wisdom to be who God wants us to be as a wife, a husband, a mother, a father, a worker, anything. And God says in that verse that he loves to give liberally, and he doesn't ever give reproachingly. It's not, oh, you're here asking the same question again. He just gives. And it says that the giving God, the giver God, wants to give to us. So what a glorious promise for every day that we can just come before him and say, I am deficient in wisdom. Giver God, would you just give it to me today?
You know, I think that is one of the best-kept secrets of the Bible. I remember discovering it as a young mom, and one night we had the boys all sitting on our king-size bed, and I said, if you guys had a bank and you could just go make withdrawals, just endless withdrawals of money, would you do that? And they're like, well, yeah. You know, and I said, well, you have a promise from God that you can continually ask and ask again for wisdom and more wisdom. And I said, as a young, young boy, if you can get a hold of this now, it will change your life later. And it's so neat to see 20-somethings walk out where God downloads wisdom, and they know that they can ask of it, and he provides it. And he does it without reproach. Isn't that powerful when you think about it?
It really, really is. And it says he gives liberally. In other words, we might ask for a little bit, but he wants to shower us. He wants to pour his wisdom over us. And I was thinking about that verse in the last couple weeks for a friend who was in the hospital again after having 10 operations in 10 years. Mm. For another woman who just said, what do I do with this teenager who is walking the wrong way? I mean, we just need wisdom for every single moment of every day of our lives.
And what a gift that he offers to give it. Well, you wrote the best-selling book, Creative Counterpart, I think it was over 30 years ago. And then a number of years ago, you experienced an injury that actually could have ended your writing ministry. I would love for you to give us some backstory leading up to the time of writing this book. What happened in that in-between time?
I wrote Creative Counterpart when I was 34, and Susie, I look back and I think, what did I know about marriage when I was 34? Because Saturday I'll be 69, and you know, that means there have been more than 34 years that have passed, and you know what I knew at age 34? I knew God's Word. And his word doesn't change, and his word is full of wisdom. And so God had me write that down, and the book is still in print, amazingly, and God is still using it. And I thought, all right, I wrote on marriage. What happened in my life? Gosh, we lived in Europe for 14 years, in Asia for 3 years, then back in America. And 5 years ago, I was out in California, and when I was getting on a plane, I fell down an entire staircase and landed on my head and woke up several hours later in a trauma hospital. And I don't know how I fell. The doctor said I will never remember it, and I don't think I want to remember it. But as I laid in that hospital for 5 days, really not there at all. In fact, I have to tell you something funny, Susie, because you'll laugh. My husband flew out and was sitting there with me, and he said every day this doctor who was caring for me came in and would look me in the face and say, you have a severe brain injury. And I wasn't totally cognizant, but my husband, Jody, said every time he said that, I said, I'm going to Ireland next week. And my husband said, you are not even conscious, and you're still telling people what you're going to do.
<That's funny. laughs>
And I guess that defines me a little bit.
Yeah.
But I thought brains healed like the rest of your body, and they don't. And I walked through several years of just laying just about everything I could think of on the altar of the Lord. And because it took so much for my brain to learn how to live life a different way and to focus, for 2.5 years, I had no creative thoughts. There were just none in my brain. And so I laid down ever writing again, ever writing a message to speak to women. And I remember saying to the Lord one day, Lord, if all you have for the rest of my life is for me to stay here at home and worship you, I will rejoice in that. And then when it looked like that might be what he had for me, I didn't feel really good about it. And I remember him just whispering to me then, Linda, did you mean it? And I said, Lord, I do mean it. But, Susie, we lay things down, and sometimes they stay there. Sometimes God graciously gives things back. And after 2.5 years, he began to give me back creative thinking, and I began to hear him speak to me about writing a book on marriage. And I said, God, on marriage? And he said, yes, I want you to write on marriage. And that's when he began to give me or show me that I had been living the message of what's it like to be married to me. And, Susie, it really was a very precious thing because I'm not who I was before my accident. I can't think as quickly. I don't process as quickly. And I said, God, I don't know if I can write. And it was really an adventure with the Holy Spirit. It was so precious because he was my partner. So really, I have a co-author.
Mm.
And he just enabled me to write the message. And so it's his message, and I just thank and praise him.
Wow. I appreciate you telling that story. If you just tuned in, really glad you joined us. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my new friend Linda Dillo about a much-talked-about book. And people that I know, there's a buzz around this book because it really is turning the tables and especially calling women to look, I don't even like to say look in the mirror because we don't even see ourselves redemptively, but to look at ourselves through God's eyes and respond to the call. What's it like to be married to me? We've got 7 copies to give away. Maybe you want to chime in with a comment or a question for our guest. We'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. Grace is sitting there looking cute as ever. She's waiting for your call. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, you can email me during the show, Susie@faithradionet.com. Okay, what's it like to be married to me? Give me the essence of the book, and then we're going to unpack some of the dangerous questions you address in the book.
Susie, I think too often, I'll just speak about myself as a wife. Too often, I look at my husband and I see what he should be doing differently. I see how he needs to change in this area or this area. And it's just really easy to look at a husband, a coworker, a child, and see what needs to change in their lives. And yet in the scriptures, I see God saying, Linda, search your heart and ask me to search your heart and to try you and see if there's any way in you that's not right. And so that's really what the book is about. It's being willing to ask ourselves the dangerous questions that I think God wants us to ask. Instead of pointing the finger at the person we live with, it's saying, okay, God, what is it like to be married to me?
You know, I remember one of my books is called Alone in Marriage, and it's encouragement for the times when it's all up to you. And so it could be you could be alone in an alone season because your hubby's in seminary or because he's selfish. I mean, there's lots of different reasons, but the same things would come up for women, loneliness, anger, fear. And I remember one time speaking on it. Every time I speak on this topic, not my favorite topic because the room is full of pretty angry or at least heartbroken women. Mm-hmm. But I'll never forget, one came up to me and she was guttural sobbing. And she said, I just realized while listening to you talk that she said she was ready to leave her husband, so disappointed in him. But she realized after hearing the message that she'd made him a source. She'd taken her hope off of God, put it in her husband, and was so thoroughly disappointed that he made such a terrible source. She thought he was the one at fault. And so she called him and begged forgiveness, and she said, it was me. It wasn't you. I want you to say a word about, I know we're going to dig into women who have legitimate reasons for being heartbroken, disappointed, and still what do you do with that? But for the woman who's let go of hope in God and put her hope in her husband, speak to that woman in that situation.
Susie, I don't think that we can hope in any other person.
Right.
Because you know what? Every other person is like we are.
Yeah.
And that is flawed and selfish. And we hope God keeps just filing away and making us more of a refined diamond. But the only place I can place my hope is in my God, and His name is hope. And in fact, I was just meditating this morning on two of my favorite verses in the scripture on hope. And they're in Romans 12:4 and Romans 12:13. First, it says that hope comes through the scriptures. And secondly, that hope overflows in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so if a woman or a man just says, I'm without hope, the God of hope wants to pour hope into them through the Word of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm. Yeah, we love them best when we love Him most.
Absolutely.
Boy, He's the source. Every other person, just a gift, a precious gift, but they make lousy sources. 877-933-2484. You got a question or comment? We welcome your call. We've got 7 copies of this wonderful book to give away. 877-933-2484. We've got Ben calling from Madison, Wisconsin. Ben, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You got a question for Linda today.
Yeah, the question was if the book was written more for wives or for husbands or for both.
Good question. What do you say, Linda?
You know, I'm a wife, and so I can write to other wives and say, ask yourself these dangerous questions. I think a man needs to write a book for husbands. So I'm going to let God put that on some husband's heart, but the book is mainly for women. But Ben, men have written me and said, you know, I read this book and I just took everything and applied it to me because the same questions apply. So God's very creative.
Mm. Well, Ben, you're going to get a copy, and just maybe you're supposed to write that other book. So you should be praying about that.
You know, I thought about that too, Susie.
Yeah, really?
Uh-huh.
All right, Ben, assignment. 877-933-2484. We've got Denise calling from Edina, Minnesota. She's got a great question for you. Denise, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. My question is, Linda, do you ever feel like you are the spiritual leader in your house? Because I know you're a strong woman, and I've read your book, Calm Your Anxious Heart, and I sometimes struggle with that myself. So I just wanted to get your opinion as to how you deal with that, or if that's an issue ever for you.
You know, I think it's an issue for all women, because we really like to be in control. And again, I think it goes back to what Susie asked before about who our source is. And if I really am connected to the Lord, and if I am at His feet, I'm going to let Him be the leader and motivate my husband to be the leader of our home and of our family. But yeah, if anybody lets me, I'll probably take over and try to lead. And I can only not do that as I'm connected with my God, who is the leader of all.
And they, you know, they may lead different than we would. And that's always so funny that we do seem to think we know what's best. But I've once heard a woman say, it's not that I'm trusting my husband to lead, but I'm trusting the God in my husband to lead, because God made him a leader. And so when we back off and give them room to lead, they lead the way God ordained them to lead eventually, don't you say?
Yes, mm-hmm. I do. And I think that's really a good point, Susie, because, you know, my husband and I are just really different, and we lead differently. And God showed me many years ago that He named pride in my life, thinking that my way of doing it was the right way, because my way isn't the right way. It's just my way, and His way is different, and God wants to lead him through His gifts and through how He made him.
Mm.
And so I think sometimes as wives, we just have to keep our mouths shut, which is hard for us, and just wait on God to motivate our husband and to work through him the way He created him.
Yeah, you know, we had Greg Smalley on. We've had him on a couple times, and one thing that came up in that conversation is he was speaking to men, saying, men, it is not hard to sweep your wife right off of her feet by engaging with her, speaking her love language, and those kinds of things. On the flip side here, it really isn't hard to honor our husbands if we do it in obedience to God and not reaction to what we see or don't see in them, wouldn't you say?
I think absolutely. And, you know, one of the questions that I ask in the book, Susie, that women don't like is, what does it feel like to be my husband? And, boy, I have gotten some unbelievable responses to that from men and from women, because if we are building our husband up, if we are encouraging our husbands rather than tearing them down and griping and venting, I think they're going to rise to be the leader.
Mm. I have a gal in my life that served as a mentor, and she was married for the longest time to an unbelieving man, and yet I've never seen anybody walk out on her. She honored him. She mm-hmm. even considered him the spiritual leader because she said, you know what, God's going to speak to him, and I'm going to trust God as far as if he doesn't want me involved in this study, I'm going to trust that I'm committing to one too many things. And I watched her walk that out. And then in their 60s, he came to Christ. And would you know, his spiritual growth has accelerated so fast that he's now the spiritual leader of that home. It is crazy to watch. But she walked it out with such honor and dignity. I marveled at her character. And what a great example for all of us. Well,
that is.
Isn't that a great story? So we have a few minutes before break. I see calls are still coming in. But you wrote that of the 50% of couples who actually stay married, most of these are living by default and not by design. That's an interesting statement. I'd love to hear you say more about that.
As I look at women today, Susie, as I look at my own life, we are just very scattered. There is so much packed into our lives in this technological age. Most women I know are a wife, they're a mother, they have a job, they're involved in their church, they're involved in ministering to women, they're involved in exercise. They've just got all of these different avenues of their life. And as I talk with women, they have goals for every area of their life except one, and that is their role as a wife.
Hmm.
At work, they have goals. Oh, they read all sorts of books about being a mom, and they have a goal for their children. But one friend of mine, Susie, who is a life coach, she counsels women all over the world. When I sent her a couple chapters of the book when I was writing it, she wrote back and she said, "What is the matter with me? I have goals for every area of my life except as wife." And so if we're going to live by design, we have to think it through and really know from God, who do I want to be in 20 years? Who do you want to be as a wife in 20 years? And we have to think that through and lay that out before God. And then we will have a design to live our life for rather than just live by default, putting out fires and going from area to area and feeling like we're spinning.
You know, that's really great. I think I did that by accident. You know, I want to explain here. This is a hard story for me to tell, but it's in one of my books, so I'm going to just say it. But intimacy was a huge issue for us as a former sexual abuse victim from my childhood, from some teenage boys. And so getting married to this godly, wonderful man, I had no idea this was going to be a broken, fractured area, but it totally was. And I just thought, I'm defective goods. This is how it goes. And the look of sadness on my hubby's face about broke my heart. And one day he said, you know, this isn't just my loss, it's your loss too. And a light bulb went on, and I thought, I'm going after this in prayer because God restores all things. He makes all things new.
Amen.
And like a little bulldog, I grabbed hold of some promises, and I'm like, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm not going to be defective my whole life. And God restored and healed us. And, I mean, I haven't made a goal like you're saying, but grabbing hold of getting some land back in that area has changed our marriage. And so
I think that's setting a goal. I think that is grabbing hold. And, you know, I want to know that I've been faithful as a wife. I can't make choices for anybody, Susie, but me. And I want to know that I've grown in every area of being a wife to Jody Dillo. And how am I going to know that if I don't have a design of who I want to become?
So give me some other examples of goals you've made as far as tangible ones where I'm here now, but in a few years I want to be here, and now you're there. Give me some other examples.
Well, I can give you one that came out of my accident, my brain injury. I had spent years memorizing verses about thankfulness, gratitude, about not griping and grumbling and being that contentious woman in Proverbs. And if you'd known me 5 years ago, you would have said, yeah, Linda, yeah, she's really a thankful person. And I don't know what happened when I fell on my head, Susie, but it was like all of the gratitude got taken out and griping and venting got put back in.
Mm.
And so after every day going to my husband and saying, honey, I just want to apologize to you again for just grumbling about so many things today and about you. I don't want to be that person. And I went before God and I said, God, I want to be different. I want you to remake me again into a woman of gratitude. I don't know how you can do that, but would you show me, would you give me a spiritual project so that I can work toward this goal, and would you give me a practical project? And he gave me both of those, Susie, and he's taking me there.
You know, I love this. So it's kind of a goal at a time. We need to take a break. But on the other side of the break, I want to talk with you more about the difference between hashing and rehashing your gripes about your husband with other women and really talking to a woman who fears God, who will call you up. Two totally different things, and I know you address that in the book. Talking to Linda Dillo, we've got a handful of copies to give away. Would you like to chime in, comment, question? 877-933-2484. More with Linda Dillo in just a moment. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Linda Dillo about her wonderful book, What's It Like to Be Married to Me? Boy, this is an engaging conversation. If you missed the first half, you're going to want to be sure to listen to the whole podcast after the show. We've got a few copies left to give away, 877-933-2484, 1-877-933-2484. We've got an anonymous caller from St. Paul. She's got a question for you, Linda. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm just intrigued totally by the title and the topic, and I know I need to get a book for myself. I've been married almost 40 years. I know there's lots of room for this new design and growth, but I really want to ask a question on behalf of my daughter, who's married to a Christian man. They're both believers, 16 years, and they're on the precipice of divorce. Mm-hmm. And she is crying out and saying, Mom, give me wisdom. What do I do? I'm trying to submit and pull back, you know, like you alluded to. You know, to let God raise him up. He pours through the Bible. He can throw a few scriptures here and there. But his life is totally opposite. You know, invites the kids in to watch raunchy movies and bad comedy and uses coarse talk. And she says, where does my role, you know, what is my role? Mm. When do I speak up, or do I just kind of do it all behind his back and try to undo everything he's, you know, doing behaviorally? I said, I'm a little confused. Can you help?
Great question. What do you say, Linda?
Boy, that's a hard one. And the only thing I would know to do is to get on my knees and open my hands to the Lord and say, God, I don't know how to love this man. He's just not being very lovable right now. But I ask you today to paint a picture for me of what love looks like. What is there about him that I can respect? How can I encourage him? How can my words be used to build him up? What she's seen in her husband is coming out of some hurt inside of him. And God may want to use her to suffer to heal her husband. And that's the message in 1 Peter 2 and 3. And I think a lot of answers are there. It says, hey, if somebody is easy to love, that's easy to love somebody who is easy to love, but to love someone who is not, we have to love as Christ did, and we have to lay down our life as he did. And in 1 Peter 3, it says that how she does that is by winning him without a word by the behavior of her life. And to me, that behavior is just loving him and encouraging him. And you know, God is going to cover over what he is saying in front of the children. For right now, it seems to me that she is just to say, how do I love him? How do I encourage him? And down the road, she may have to make some other hard decisions. But right now, what I'm sensing from the Lord is she is to say, what color is love today for my husband?
I appreciate that. And if I could throw this out, too, there's a book called Fasting for a Spiritual Breakthrough. And there's a fast, and there's several different kinds of fasts you can do. But one is, if I remember right, that somebody's eyes would be open to the impact of their sin. And so as you're winning him without words, you know, or she is, as your daughter, to be fasting and praying behind the scenes. Lord, open his eyes and cover my children's eyes. Where you are going to the, you know, the mat for this family. And, boy, there's something that happens when we fast and pray and seek God. So hopefully that encourages you. You'll get a copy of Linda's book. We've got a call from Carrie calling from Burnsville. Welcome to the show, Carrie.
Hi, yes. I was wondering how you get your husband into buying into the goal-setting part of a marriage.
Do you know? I don't. I just can only make choices for me, and I can set a goal for me of who I want to become as a wife. And if God opens the door, I can share with him what God is leading me to do and trust that God is going to motivate him to set goals himself. Don't think it works really well when we say to our husband, hey, I'm setting goals, why don't you set five? Just doesn't go over well.
I tried that. It doesn't.
It doesn't. You know, men don't like to be told what they're supposed to do. Have you found that out, Susie?
Oh, so yes. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Even when he tells me, I want you to help me lose weight this time. Oh, okay, honey. Doesn't go well. They need to own it. It needs to come from within them, definitely.
Right.
Absolutely.
And God's the only one that can do that.
Yeah, God bless you. That's good. 877-933-2484. I see Grace is processing a couple more calls here. But before the break, I set up this scenario, and you address it in the book, and it's so important. And you run into women who hash and rehash their husband's offenses, or you'll go out to eat and you'll see a table of women bashing their husbands. And I know for a fact it's like a cavity in a tooth. You feed that stuff, it creates a stronghold in your life where you're mad all over again. It's like tearing the scab off. Big difference between that and going to a woman who fears God and who will call you up, who will encourage you. You know, as Angie Smith says, we'll give you grace and accountability. I want you to talk about those two scenarios and why they're so different.
I think, Susie, that Christian women really talk about their husband and it can be gossip. They just are using it as a chance to vent their anger, their frustrations with their husband, and they even sometimes coach it in a way, you know, I want you to pray about this. But really, they're just venting what they're upset about. And it's almost like a little venting club that all of the women share the weaknesses of their husband. And, you know, I think God's really clear that we're not to do that. But for me to go to a wise woman and say, I need help with this. Will you pray for me? Will you hold me accountable? That's a spirit of humility rather than a spirit of gossiping.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God wants.
Excellent.
He just wants us to, in humility, go and ask for help. But, Susie, I want to read you what a man emailed me after he heard me on a radio program talking about just what you and I are talking about wives griping about their husbands and to their husbands. And this is what he wrote me. He said, you may be one of the only women who understand that a woman's attitude is either the key or a hand grenade to a man's heart. My wife is a believer, but she's convinced her bad attitude and disrespect should be tolerated regardless of the damage that is unleashed in the process. And this next sentence is what just blew me out of the water. For many years, I have not kissed my wife because I find it extremely difficult to kiss the mouth that is regularly critical and disrespectful of me. Wow.
Wow.
And I just think a lot of us, Susie, don't understand what it feels like to be our husband, to be my husband, or to be your husband. And we need to ask that question. And that's why I said to God, please show me how to get this griping attitude out, because that's not who I want to be.
And you even address in the book how God feels about griping, and I've written about this as well before, and this is no small thing to God. Talk about God's perspective on anybody griping and complaining.
You know, in 1 Corinthians 10, Susie, it talks about all the things God did for the Israelite people, how he sent manna from heaven, how he guided them by a cloud and by a pillar of fire, just was there. His presence was so visible. And yet he said, I was displeased with you. And he lists four reasons why he was displeased. And they were things like immorality, testing the Lord. And then he says, and grumbling. Idolatry is on the list. And with immorality, idolatry, he says grumbling. And I'm going, God, you're putting those in the same list? I would never put grumbling alongside immorality or idolatry, and yet God does, Susie, and that really should cause us to step back and think.
Yeah, and one of the reasons I think he does that is because he has given us every promise with a yes and amen. He's withheld nothing from us, and it was like the Israelites fell into grumbling when they lost sight of the promise of God over their lives. And so, in fact, in Psalm it says they refused to believe God's promise to love and care for them, so they stayed in their tents and grumbled and refused to obey the Lord. So I'm not going to believe the promise, and then I'm going to grumble that my life has no promise. And so there is no place for the believer to be grumbling, because every promise is yes and amen.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I asked God to give me a spiritual project, and he took me to Psalm 142 that really just says so clearly, call out to God and just list all of your complaints to him. And that's where we go first, Susie. Even before going to a mentor or a godly woman, we list our complaints to God. And I think if we would do that first, there wouldn't be so much of women just griping about their husbands mm-hmm. to one another. That was my spiritual project. But the physical, practical project was to get a bracelet that said, gripes be gone, and put it on my right wrist. And the first time I griped, I had to move it from my right wrist to my left wrist. And then guess what I had to do when I complained again? I had to switch it back. And I have had these bracelets made up and used them in the Bible study that goes with this book. And women say, I didn't know what was coming out of my mouth. And I think that's part of our problem. We don't hear ourselves. One young woman said to me, well, I'm not very creative. I just gripe about the same thing over and over again. But when we hear ourselves, I think then we can say, okay, God, now that I see what I'm making my husband feel like and probably my children too, I just ask you to reach in and take that attitude out of me. Because my Bible says, Susie, that as a believer in Christ, I am to overflow with gratitude. And so I just said, God, would you put that gratitude in me? Because I want to be a lighthouse for you, shining with gratitude.
That's beautiful. You know, it isn't even enough to just stop griping. You know, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, God, who's faithful and just, will not only forgive the sin, but clean us out, cleanse us from the icky remnants of a spirit that would gripe. And then we're walking in that righteousness again. And it's so important for all of us to pause and say, God, that's me. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Put a new song in my mouth. And, you know, I told my boys when they were growing up, what you look for, you'll find. And it's the same with us. If I'm going to look for all the lists of things I don't like about a person, a circumstance, I'll find them. But if I'm looking for through redemptive eyes, you know, God will give me eyes to see. We've got Melody calling from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. She's got a question for you today. Melody, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was, over the last few years, I had charged up a bunch of credit card debt that my husband did not know about. Mm-hmm. And when he found out about it, understandably, he was very angry and upset. And I, you know, have confessed it, and I know God's forgiven me, but my husband has not. Mm-hmm. And it's just a daily struggle to to continue to try and rebuild all the hurt, or, you know, and I've prayed to the Lord to, you know, heal the hurt that I've caused. And I, you know, and as I listen to you ladies, it's like, well, that's me, that's me. And I, you know, over the years, so many times it's been, well, I deserve this, you know, these things, because my husband, you know, it doesn't, you don't feel like they're loving you enough or doing what you want them to do, so I deserve this. And all it's done is caused misery and grief.
Bless your heart, Melody. Do you want to say anything to her, Linda?
I'd like to pray for her.
That's great. Please do.
Lord, you hear Melody's heart, and I thank you. I thank you that she is repentant for what she has done. And I thank you that she knows you have forgiven her. But my Father, would you come as a father to Melody, and would you show her practical ways that she can reach out to her husband and rebuild that trust? God, I'm going to be bold and say to you, would you show her some ways to earn extra money so she can take that and give it to her husband and say, I want to help repay what I did? Lord, would you speak personally to Melody? Would you give her hope, God of hope, that every day for the rest of her life is not going to be like it is today? Mm-hmm. I ask you to do a new thing in this husband and wife and between them. And I ask you to give them more than they had before. And I ask you for this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Father, I want to add, as Linda's praying, it just reminded me by your precious spirit that Melody's sin is covered by the blood of the Lamb. And when our sin is covered, there is now, therefore, no condemnation because she's in Christ Jesus. So I pray that Melody could rise up from this place and walk in a new faith, that there is no condemnation on her, and that she is not subject to man's judgment, so that she is free to love her husband, free to walk in a new level of faith, but not to wear it anymore. That I really believe, Melody, even that as you carry a new level of grace and even joy in your forgiveness, it's going to open a door for your hubby to see you the way Jesus sees you. So I just pray, God, for faith for her to rise up in that place where she can say, there is now no condemnation in me, on me, around me, because Jesus, you paid in full for this sin. And I'm going to walk by faith. Help me to pray restoration if I need to, in Jesus' name. But I am not going to walk in shame. And we pray blessing on you, Melody. Amen. Bless your heart. We've got Ethan calling from Woodbury, Minnesota. He's got a question for you, Linda. Ethan, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, I'm in a relationship with my wife of 10 years who has been primarily very overly critical of my behavior, and you know, I guess what I'm wondering, my question is if my wife's primary response to me is that she doesn't feel filled enough, she doesn't feel I pay enough attention to her, kind of a constant feeling of loneliness. But yet at the same time, you know, I guess, you know, what I really feel like is the more I give her, the more it's never enough. Hmm. And I really struggle in that in my relationship with God. I find myself really having to go to God constantly and asking him to not allow my wife to embitter me and take a lot of the you know, the sideways comments and the anger that come out in kind of inappropriate ways in our relationship. And I have a very difficult time, you know, I think that I'll say to her in our relationship when we're talking, you know, I don't use sideways anger, you know, and I know there are areas that I could probably be improving, but the thing I don't understand is that it seems like, you know, she'll say you don't cuddle with me enough, or you're not paying enough attention to me, you know, giving me cards or including me in on your activities. And then I give her the opportunity to do those things and she shuts me down. And it feels like I'm getting a very, like, a double message. And I don't know how to, I've kind of lost words to even pray what to pray for, you know?
Yeah. Good question, Ethan. I'd love to hear what you have to say, Linda.
Thank you so much for your honesty. And I would encourage you to get on your knees and just say, God, I really don't know how to love this woman. And you know how to love her. And I ask you to show me today what love looks like, how I can express that to her. Because, Ethan, it's like you said, so often your wife comes back and says, it's not enough. But if you're doing what God really lays on your heart, you will know that you're doing enough. And it goes back to what we said earlier in the program, that our source has to be God, not our mate. And I think your wife is trying to make you her source. And do you know what? A man can never give a woman everything she needs. God has got to be her source. And what her husband gives is frosting on the cake. So I would pray for your wife that God could really be her source and be your source. And as you both receive from him, you will have that frosting to give to each other.
I love that. And Ethan, I was thinking too that we as women have this tendency, I'll just speak for myself, to ping pong between desire and disappointment. I desire this from you. Now I'm disappointed that I'm not getting it. And then when you give it, I'm in the disappointment side of the ping pong, so I miss that you're giving it. You know what I'm saying? And I know that that is a tendency for us as women, desire, disappointment. And it is, as Linda said, our responsibility to get our source in Christ. But as she was encouraging you to give what you have and to go to the Lord, I just pictured you being that boy with the lunch. And the need is so much greater than what you have in your hand.
Right.
And so I would just charge you in the name of Jesus to give what you give with faith. Lord, I'm giving what I give to my wife in faith that you're going to multiply it. And I agree with Linda, praying in the name of Jesus that God would awaken her and revive her faith so she starts to get from God what she needs. And we just pray that blessing on you, Ethan, that the Lord would do that for you. And, you know, God help us all. We all are trying. You know, men are trying hard. Women, we want intimacy. And at the end of the day, we really just want to be walking in love, don't we?
We do.
Well, we only have a couple minutes left. But one, I wanted to get through all these questions. Linda would love to have you back and so we could go through them. But one of them that you asked was, what is really important to me? In other words, what do my choices say? We only have 2 minutes before we pray. But talk about the importance of daring to ask, what are my choices actually saying to my spouse? Say a word about that.
Are they saying that he is important or that everything else? And there are lots of everything else's in a woman's life. Does he feel he's at the bottom of my priority list? Or does he feel that right under God, he is right there? And that doesn't mean that we ignore our children or we ignore our work. To me, it's more of a message. Is it that I walk into my husband's office in the morning because his office is downstairs and I put my arms around him as he's sitting in his chair and I just whisper in his ear, I love you. I know it's a busy day for both of us, but I hope that we have time just to connect today together. Am I saying that, or am I just holding up my hands like, I am too busy, don't come near me? So am I communicating to him that of all the people on the earth, he is my top priority of people here on the earth?
Wow, that's such a good word. And talk to the person who is overcommitted right now to the point that it is draining their marriage. Speak to them about maybe some choices that need to change.
That's happened to me more than once, and I had to go to God and say, okay, God, look at all these things. I want you first, then my husband, then my children. Would you show me what needs to go? Don't you think, Susie, as women, we overcommit and then we shriek and say, how did I do this? Maybe we should start by not committing so much and adding if we find we have time.
Mm-hmm.
I think often we'd find we didn't have the time. But I think women are so concerned, oh, if I say I can't do this, someone's feelings are going to be hurt, or they're going to think I'm not a hard worker. It really is about what God thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And so be willing to say no or to step back and say, I overcommitted, and God wants me to spend more time on my husband and children.
Yeah. And that really does go both ways, because our overcommitment and our choices so often treat strangers. We're like a hero to strangers and a stranger to our spouse. I think there was a song in the 80s about that. But this is really, really important, because if that fear of man kicks in, we'll be pleasing everybody but the priority people in our lives.
Well, and the people, the strangers out there, they appreciate us more. Sometimes our husband doesn't say, oh, that was such a wonderful meal. Oh, thank you for taking the time to do this. But the person we took a meal to, they're just so grateful, and that feels good.
Yeah. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up here, Linda. This has just been absolutely wonderful, and I pray you'll come back, because
I would love to come back.
Oh, my goodness. We have all these dangerous questions you list in the book that I think are so important, even one about intimacy. Boy, such important stuff. And I love that you courageously tackle these things. But as we wrap up, I'm thinking of that woman who's listening, who's had a light bulb moment and realizes that maybe she might be one of those folks who's shifted her hope from the Lord to her husband and has now felt disappointed in that marriage and realizes that disappointment is misplaced and that she's got a divine appointment with the Lord. Now, would you pray for her?
I would love to. My Father, you see this woman, or this man, who has had an aha moment with you, and you have spoken by your Spirit to her heart. God, would you give her the courage and the power by the Spirit to make the changes that you're asking to? Would you give her the power to follow through? Oh, God, bring her to her knees. Bring her to her knees with open hands, just saying, God, speak to me. God, change me. Make me like you. Lord, would you make me the wife or the husband that you long for me to be? Would you show me today what it looks like to love like you love? And I am convinced that when we pray with that humility, that God just delights in saying, yes, my daughter, yes, my son, I am coming. I am coming to give you the power, to give you the courage to become who you want to be. And so, Lord, I lift each person listening, and I thank you that you will be everything to them. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Linda, thank you for your time today. We're honored to have you with us. Great conversation.
Oh, I loved it. Thank you, Susie.
Be blessed. Title of the book is What's It Like to Be Married to Me? I'm going to leave you with this passage from Romans 12. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's show. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and you can get a podcast in just a few minutes up on our website at faithradionet.com. I want you to share this one with a friend. This was a powerful message. Tune in tomorrow. I'll be talking with Becky Harling. She's a pastor's wife and author. Her book is called Freedom from Performing, Grace in an Applause-Driven World. You know, every Wednesday I write a devotional blog. Today's post is about seeing others and even yourself redemptively. Are you the subject of somebody's judgment? That judgment might even be within the context of marriage. How do you press through to get to a point where you see others and yourself redemptively? You can check it out on my website, SusieLarson.com. And finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. And He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great afternoon.